Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, titled, What Shall I Do to Inherit Eternal Life? We're going to discuss the reason why Jesus didn't simply answer by presenting his death on the cross and his future resurrection from the dead. Why didn't Jesus simply call on this man to believe the gospel and be saved? Stick around for our study and you will hear the biblical explanation. As you listen, if you have any questions or comments, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your message by U.S. Postal, along with any check or money order contributions made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, and send those to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button at the bottom of the page. That is also where you'll find the conclusion of this two-part study. bbfohio.com, along with all of our other studies, numbering almost 2,000, available free of charge in audio and video. And now we begin our current events update, and then on to our study in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is part one of two.
The liberal LBGTQP plus, that's for pedophile. They're trying to change the age of consent so that they can have sex with teenagers and not go to jail. So that's what the P is for. The plus, because they're not done yet, they'll have two B's. It won't be long before the B will be bestiality, all right? Animal love, as they call it. Tyranny continues, setting the stage for Antichrist in the name of gay rights or whatever they want to call it. This is just an example of what your children are going to be facing if they go to most public schools and public universities. New York University suspends a student for saying something that is scientifically true. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. For that reason, he's suspended from the university. This is from the story. A university in New York has reportedly suspended one of its students after he shared an Instagram post. So this wasn't even something he said on campus. In which he asserted what we know to be true. That's why I always tell you, liberals hate science. You know you're talking to a liberal when they don't want to talk about science. There's only two sexes, male and female. Amen. That's a scientific fact. And we're living in the twilight zone where the liberal cult is demanding that you deny science. So what if this were you, your son or daughter, or even you? Could be. If you're working for anyone that is given to having to bow to the kind of pressure that these liberals, LBG, whatever, bring to you, again from the story, State University of New York at Geneseo suspended education student Owen Stevens' access to required teaching programs. Does that sound familiar? After he posted to Instagram videos addressing biological sex, according to the Daily Wire, they are seeking to destroy his career before he even gets started. Wow. Imagine that being your kid. Yeah. Some of you are young enough, I'll say, imagine that being you. Yeah. A man is a man, a woman is a woman, Stephen said in one of his videos. A man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. Amen. How Amen. Dare you? The school reportedly claimed the social media post, quote, call into question, end quote, the student's ability to, quote, maintain a classroom environment protecting the mental and emotional well-being of all of his students. Think about that. Demanding full submission to the insane and devil-possessed is what they're doing. Yeah. Your child has to lie and pretend that what is true is not true, because there's insane people and devil-possessed people in those classrooms who could be offended by you. Stevens, according to documents obtained by the Daily Wire, will remain suspended from participating in mandatory courses, so he can't get his teacher's certificate or anything, until he bows, until he completes a so-called remediation plan. They're just using new words. The communists did the same thing, and they called it re-education camps. And you're going to find that's what this liberal cult is. It includes Stevens deleting his Instagram posts, depoliticizing his social media presence, and attending a school-sanctioned training. And, of course, Stevens sounds like an intelligent man. He described the training as re-education, which is what it is. Mandatory brainwashing. And we must fight.
Yeah, amen.
And the liberals are so libtarded that they're trying to say that anybody who uses the word fight is invoking violence.
Unless they use it,
right. Well, let me say, for the record, fight. And our weapons are not with flesh and blood, but we're going to fight.
Amen.
We're going to do it the way the Apostle Paul fought, and he didn't just pray.
Amen.
In Acts 25:11, Paul was being falsely accused, and they were trying to bring him down to Jerusalem for trial, and he knew he was going to be set up, so he used the system that he was in. Says, but if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. What we will do is support the Alliance Defending Freedom. There's also the American Center for Law and Justice, the Pacific Justice, Liberty Council, the AFA has their own. There's a bunch of other legal ministries who will defend Christians. They will take these things to court, and we appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States of America as we pray and appeal to heaven.
Amen.
And that's how we're going to fight it. It's already begun. Chip Roy is a representative, and he's already announced he's going to challenge the act in court. He said Thursday that he will continue to fight against the Equality Act in court just before the House was scheduled to vote on the bill, which he claims would harm religious freedom. The Equality Act builds on the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act to add protections for LGBTQ Americans. That's the selling point. Roy, alongside several members of the House Freedom Caucus, said outside the Capitol on Thursday that the bill is, quote, trampling on the rights of the American people in the false name of equality, end quote. So don't be fooled. This isn't an equality act. This is a you will submit act. It's not about equality. He added, this is a government using its power to tell us to bow down to the will of a cultural elite in this town, Washington, D.C., who want to tell us what we're supposed to believe. We're not going to do that.
Amen.
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 Representative Chip Roy's response is exactly correct. Roy said, we are going to keep fighting it in the courts and beyond.
Amen.
Amen. Meanwhile, our wicked faux president, President Joe Biden, has thrown his support behind the legislation, saying recently that Congress should work to pass it without delay. And he says he'll sign it. He doesn't care about the Bill of Rights. He doesn't care about the Constitution. He's a liar who swore an oath that he's breaking, and he's going to violate your constitutional, what we should call constitutionally protected, God-given rights. I think I'm there, but just real quick. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Luke 10:25-28. Guess I better get my Bible there. Luke 10. We left off there in verse 24. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Let's read verses 25 through 28. I'm ignore the sign there. I'm going to have you read all of them with me. 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So, as we say, we left off where Jesus has been dealing with the 70. He sent out and important studies that took place before this text. And now he's approached by a legalist. This is a fella who is convinced that he's a good guy and he's wanting to get to heaven through his works. And, well, how many of you know we're not saved by our works of righteousness? You know that? So I'm preaching to the choir. But there's more to it than that as we continue on. So we start there. It says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now, some preachers will emphasize this isn't the same as a typical lawyer today, but it really isn't that far off. I mean, it's not as far off as some people act. If you study what the system was like during this time, you had people who were experts in the law, and they were called lawyers for that reason. It's also the same people that we call scribes. And what they did was they studied the law meticulously, and they memorized these things. Not just the law, they memorized all the things that we would call precedent. And so you'd have things come before the courts, and if the judge needed some legal information, he'd hear the case, and then he would consult the lawyers. And he'd maybe pick one who would then go and have a counsel. And then they would discuss things, and they would talk about all that they knew, and they'd put it all on the table, and then they'd come to a decision and send it back to the judge. So that's what a lot of lawyers do today. There's not as many lawyers as you might think who actually go in front of court and put forth a Matlock or a, you know, who are some of the other attorneys we know, but the idea of getting up and defending someone in law and everything. Most of the lawyers I've ever met never do that. And so they're very similar. The difference is what they're studying here today is the legal precedents. Actually, it goes back to Blackstone and then our own Supreme Court decisions and other decisions in other courts that were left standing by the Supreme Court. And you'll go into a lawyer's office and you'll see a library of books with all those prior cases that he'll dig into to find cases and precedents to help in this case or that case. And that's what a lot of lawyers do their whole lives. And so in this case, these guys are going to Moses and the Old Testament, and then they're also then discussing all that they've been taught through the years from memory. I don't exactly know why, but they never wrote it down. They didn't have the legal books. Later, the Talmud kind of became that kind of a reference, but that's not what they used most of the time when it came to law at this time. So he's a member of the Mosaic Law Court. Is the big difference here. And by the way, we all love the lawyer jokes. But the truth is lawyers are as corrupt, but no more corrupt than is any other occupation. Amen. Amen. I want to be clear. I appreciate good teachers. I do. But there are a lot of corrupt ones. There are a lot of teachers molesting kids. There are a lot of teachers teaching lies. There are a lot of teachers intimidating children if they have a Bible with them. Or you see the little girl back on the wall there, she wore a mask with Jesus loves me, and the teacher made her take it off.
What?
And so that's been going on for years, but it's getting worse. There's also, I love preachers. I love good preachers. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about good preachers beside. I think I'm all right, but good preachers. I appreciate a good preacher. But boy, there are some corrupt preachers. There's some crooks. Turn on the TV, probably about half of them. Crooks. And some of them, I'm not going to get into it this morning, name names, but some of them you may even know and think, oh yeah, that guy's never been involved in a scandal. Maybe not a sex scandal, but there's a lot of these guys who have like three or four homes of $500,000 all over the world, and they, you know, have all this money. They're making anywhere from $300,000 to $1 million a year. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that's ever a pastor's salary. I just don't think that that's legit at all. But it doesn't matter what occupation, lawyers are about as corrupt as any other you see today. So it says what this corrupt lawyer does. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and did what? Wouldn't you hate to be that guy now? He knows who Jesus is now. And he's here, he's trying to tempt him, meaning he's trying to trip him up and accuse him, trying to get him to say something wrong. And that happens to me all the time. And trust me, that's not very hard to get Greg Miller to do. But when you're doing that to Jesus, you just met your match.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't understand Jesus' response if you don't get this context. You got this lawyer, and he's not asking a sincere question. And so Jesus isn't going to deal directly with him. He's going to deal with him. Well, the Bible itself says Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That doesn't mean lie, but it means you don't have to just jump into the trap either. You know, and sometimes it's not a trap that get you in trouble with the law or anything, but, you know, people debate you and they'll try to trap you. And especially after my first few years as a minister, as a Christian pastor, I've learned some of those traps, and I won't jump into them. But verse 25 says, his question was, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I just got the hands up. Everyone here knows that you're not going to earn eternal life, right? Well, take note of the fact that this question comes up again in Luke 18, and Jesus will handle that differently. Why? Because it's a different person with a different hang-up. And we'll see that when we get there. But nothing you do, or I'll put it this, my note says it this way, you do things because you have eternal life, not to inherit it. We work because we're saved, not in order to be saved. People quote that text that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't say work for your salvation. You work out. What's that mean? I'm saved and now I should show it. And you know who you show it to? Are you trying to impress the person sitting next to you? Are you trying to impress the people you work with? Are you trying to impress your pastor? It's the wrong person.
Amen.
You work as unto the Lord. You try to impress God. I always tell everybody, you know what? If I'm doing God's will and I know I'm pleasing Him and I'm not pleasing you, you will just have to get over it. I live to please the Lord. And we do works. It's not to impress people around. We work as unto the Lord. We want to glorify Him in His name. And then if other people are happy with that or pleased with that, praise God. But that's not our purpose. I tell people, I love you all. I try to get to know you. I try to be there for you and all that, but I'm not your Savior. And I'm not in the ministry for you. You are the benefit of ministry. I'm in the ministry to serve the Lord. And then He's told me what to do, and that's where you all come in. And that's not just the pastor. That's supposed to be everyone in this room. You serve the Lord. Now He's told you what to do. Loving Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But also loving your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
That's ministry. So don't forget, Jesus knows this man is tempting Him when He answers. Now, since many of us have been taught that Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to the cross. How many of you have been taught that?
Yeah.
Old Testament saints were looking forward to the cross. Jesus obviously is going to tell this fellow to believe on Him and what He's about to do at Calvary, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's look. Read verse 26 again with me. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Wait a minute. Jesus, where are you going with this? I mean, shouldn't you just tell the guy, I'm about to die on the cross, and ever since Adam sinned, everybody's been looking forward to that. So you just do that, and you'll be all right. I just will ask anybody who thinks I'm wrong about this, and it's not, I'm not here to impress you with Greg Miller. I'm just talking about, what does the Bible teach? Show me where any Old Testament saint was saved by looking forward to the cross. Show me in your Bible. It's not there.
Amen.
You can go do a word search or whatever. They didn't know Jesus. They knew that God promised a Messiah, but they didn't understand the cross. We're going to continue reading in Luke, and his disciples themselves have heard him repeatedly explain it, and they still don't get it. And yet, from the seminaries, they come out and telling everybody this big fable about everybody in the Old Testament looking forward to the cross. And that didn't save a soul.
Amen.
So what happened? Well, I'm glad you asked. So you hear Jesus say this, and you're like, wait, what? Where's he going with this? Maybe Jesus is just going to be using the law like Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron do on the way of the master. He's about to lay that out. And that'd be good, right? I mean, that's good. I don't know if you know that, but that's a real good thing to do with people. Help them understand they have broken the law. They've broken God's law. They're a sinner. They need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what Jesus is going to do, right? Verse 27. Read that. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. What? Okay. Now, surely Jesus will point him to the cross. You're not going to find him doing that. Now, let me tell you something. I used to sit in the pew and listen to preachers tell me everybody was saved by looking forward to the cross. And I would get real shook up by the fact that I couldn't find it in the Bible.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was so convinced, Charlie, there's something wrong with me. I'm just stupid. I don't understand this book, evidently. What's wrong with me, Lord? Why can't I find that in there? It's got to be in there. I'd read Isaiah, look like, well, maybe Jeremiah. Not there. Daniel, not there. Where are these Bible verses telling me that the Old Testament saints were looking forward to the cross and by faith they were born again and all this stuff that I heard taught? Just pay attention to the fact the Bible talks about even people who claim to be Bible teachers teaching fables. Why? Because that's easy. They take the easy route instead of preaching the truth. Verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, wait a minute. If the man is being saved by looking forward to the cross, might as well burn your Bible, because Jesus just taught false doctrine. Amen?
Amen?
The kid didn't look forward to the cross. The kid gave an answer, and Jesus said, you're right. Do it and you'll be okay. You know how people, some of these guys teach that? They literally tell them that Jesus lied to the guy in order to teach him a lesson. Yes. But you know what? That's the only out they got. If they're going to be honest, they have to believe Jesus lied to the kid. If you're going to teach that everyone in the Old Testament looked forward to the cross, Jesus is lying to this guy. You know what? Just between us, Jesus ain't lying.
Amen.
I'm going to believe the Bible. Theologians, seminarians, even your pastor, it could be your best friend, your mother, your grandmother, your dad, your grandfather, whoever it is, they are subject to this book.
Amen.
So let's just read it and see what it says. Amen? Believe the Bible or don't believe the Bible. That's your choice. Now, there's a good reason for this to be in the Bible and a good reason for you to understand it. We're going to come to that in just a few minutes. But keeping the law by faith, see, in the Old Testament, keeping the law by faith was outward justification of the inner condition. You can think of it this way. When a Jew went to the temple and offered a lamb sacrifice, First of all, if he was just doing it because it was the thing to do, which a lot of people go to church for that reason.
Yeah.
A lot of people even give money to churches and they don't believe a thing. Ben Franklin, for example, he'd go to the Presbyterian church 1 week and give money. He'd go to a Baptist church or the Quaker church or wherever, he'd give money. He wasn't a believer. He was very clear about it. What did that do for him? It helped his political causes, which were pretty good actually, but didn't help him get to heaven. But if you are giving and you attend church and you're doing those things because you're saved, then that's a good thing. And you'll be rewarded for that. Well, under the Old Testament, a man would go with a lamb, or if he was poor, like Jesus' mother, poor and had a baby, and for the sake of the cleanliness laws, she waited a certain amount of time, thinking of eight days or whatever. Then she would go to the temple with two turtle doves or a couple pigeons, I think were the alternatives. And they would wring the neck of those things and the blood would gush out, picturing the blood of Jesus.